Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 14th of the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law, the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. Welcome to the broadcast. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers are absolutely brilliant. The solution to the problems we face. We got a road to hoe to fix America, ladies and gentlemen. But the American people have done hard things before, and we can do them again. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Please do business with the good guys, thepowermall.com. Also, givemelibertyfund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, please think givemelibertyfund.com. We had our guest on, Mr. Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. We talked about the New Jersey judge, Jeff S. Mason, or maybe it's Masson. He has ruled and declared that Senator Ted Cruz is constitutionally eligible to be the president of the United States of America and is eligible to be on the ballots. In his conclusion, though, the judge acknowledged that the final determination of the issue still awaits a Supreme Court decision. The sad part is they claim they don't know what the founders meant when it comes to eligibility. I think they know full well, but again, with Barack Obama violating that, never having accountability, now with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, you know, what do? We've got a problem on our hands. So I disagree with them completely. However, you know what? You argue it now, and they're just going to say, well, even the courts agree Cruz is qualified. So even if I agree that they're wrong, which I do, I don't know where you go from here. I mean, I don't know where you go in America for a redress of grievance when you say nobody cares, the American people meaning, the courts have ruled against us. There's just not enough oomph in the American people to have accountability. In fact, you know what? Lots of people support Cruz. When I bring this up, they just don't care. So if people don't care about the Constitution won't matter now, will it? Donald Trump has officially won Missouri. He just picked up 12 more delegates in that battle. We talked with Larry Pratt about the constitutional carry scenario. We've got more states jumping on board all the time, 12 states so far, and growing. We then talked about, is this the world's fittest grandpa? Guy's 61 years old, former businessman. He stuns the internet with his incredible six-pack abs. All right, nothing like being in shape, huh? Rush Limbaugh makes urgent plea to outsiders like Trump. Anyway, we had a great time with Larry Pratt yesterday, first hour. Second hour, we had our guest on, Mrs. Karen Smith, with RadioFreeSouthAfrica.com. We talked about the new racism. South Africa's white second-class citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, we reject anybody being second-class citizens. We call for equality for all and special privileges for none. Do you agree with that? We talked about this, the so-called white privilege, but in South Africa, many whites are in what are called white squatter camps. It's a sad scenario. They're broke. They're hungry. We can help. We can feed a family of four for $20 a week. That's U.S. dollars. We talked about the South African Family Relief Project. They got a website. You might want to check it out. SAFRPSA.org. SAFRP will be focusing on their farm project for 2016. Their aim is to acquire land, build low-cost housing, a skill center, and a preschool. And they don't want a handout, but they do want a hand up. They want help. And they need it. And you say, well, why do we bring it up, Sam, if we don't want to talk about race or racism? Why would we bring? Because it's wrong. There are people starving. I don't care what color they are. We need help. And sadly, due to the hostility of the government in Africa, there's not much outsiders can really do. According to Karen, it would take about $3,000 to allow one of those South Africans to immigrate to the United States. It's expensive. Once they get here, they don't have the ability to work. It takes forever to get a work visa, etc. What do you do? Very, very tough scenario. We thank Karen for her knowledge, for her tremendous work on that effort. She was a great guest. That's a recap of yesterday's hard-hitting broadcast. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. So, I'm sure you're not surprised, but Trump's in the news, Kurt.
Donald Trump?
Yeah,
Donald
of course. J. Trump?
Yeah. Oh, that guy.
Now, it's kind of weird, because he's in the news for something you don't usually see, Kurt. And that is, he's getting along.
Whoa. Are you sure it's Donald J. Trump?
Yes, sir. He's getting along with, there's this lady named Megyn Kelly. And Megyn Kelly of Fox News picked up the horn. They used to say that in the old days. Nowadays, picked up the telly. Is that what they say over in Europe, Kurt? Anyway, she got on the phone and she called up Donald. Now, I find that fascinating.
Donald.
Because I would like to call Donald, Kurt.
Yeah, but you apparently don't have the right number.
In fact, I have an open letter to Donald, but I can't even make sure that he got it. Much less call him. Now, Megyn and Donald are supposed to be like rivals against each other. They don't trust each other. They, you know, she thinks Donald's a pig and a bigot and whatever and a chauvinist. And he thinks she's like a failure and unable to do anything or get it done or whatever. Like anyone, send an open letter to Trump and confirm it being received. But anyway, Megyn gets on the horn. She says, hey, Don, it's Meg. Want to go to lunch? Donald says, sure, why don't you just roll into the Trump Tower and we'll chill and eat lunch. Megyn says, okay, hangs up the phone. I don't know if she took Uber or what she did, Kurt, but she went to the Trump Tower. The doorman was shocked as could be. She rolls up there, eats lunch with Donald for over an hour. And now they're coming out of it and playing nice. They say, you know what? Trump, of course, says she was so nice. Megyn must have come around. She was so nice. And Megan's now saying, look, we got this solved. We're and it's all good, Kurt. Megyn and the Donald. Now Megan's on her TV show or her newscast, whatever you want to call the thing. It's like Jerry Springer almost, so it's hard for me to call it news over there at Fox. But nevertheless, Megyn gets on her show, and she's like, you know what? It was wonderful. We're working it out. And, you know, Donald trying to position himself for the general election where he's got to kind of be a little bit more center, a little less extreme. He's also got to kind of court the women. And all Donald's got to do is get Megyn in his office for about a half hour. And they made a deal, Kurt. And now it's all good. And so she says, I'm just waiting to set up a Donald interview now. Kurt, you got a response to this? What do you think of all this?
Well, it's basically made for TV, isn't it, Sam?
I mean,
it's just, you know, exactly what you want. You have to have a bad guy and a good guy and a plot, and you have to have a great finish, and that's what we see, right?
Yes, sir. Now, Donald's in kind of another interesting twist scenario, Kurt. Remember how there was a battle between Michelle Fields and Corey Lewandowski? You know this, Kurt? You know about this?
I think so. I couldn't tell you all about it right off.
All right. Well, I can. Here's how it is. Corey works for Donald, chief campaign dude. Michelle Fields used to work for, I think, what, Breitbart? And Michelle felt like Corey threw her down and beat her up, and so she sued. And anyway, the big battle happened, she left Breitbart, and Breitbart said, what are you talking about? This is bogus. And she said, no way. You guys aren't standing up for conservative values. And the battle raged on, and videos got shown, and everybody had an opinion on it. And, well, the Donald said that Corey's not guilty of what they claim, and this is all big bogus, and we got to fix this. And Da da da. It went on and on, right? You remember all this?
Yes.
Well, now it turns out that, well, they were going to go to court, Kurt. They were going to solve this whole thing. But there's nothing really to solve because I guess they just said, look, grow up. When you study the tapes, I guess she was touching the Donald before Corey touched her. And so now Donald and Michelle can both claim assault. And, well, neither of them are going to. So it's, well, let's just grow up and let it go, they all say. What do
it's
you say?
It's a love fest.
It sure is. Liberty Roundtable, live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
North Florida, North America, and YouTube Babylon, are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, all hands against the Trump, it seems. I don't know, while Megyn Kelly and Trump are making up, while Corey, what's that guy's name? Lewandowski? Corey Lewandowski and Michelle Fields, they're going to call it all off and not fight anymore. But things get even stranger because Marco Rubio's still in the mix. Marco Rubio is now teaming up with Ted Cruz to block even more Trump delegates in Arkansas state primary. What gives of that? Wow. In Arkansas state primary. What do you think of that, Kurt? the plot thickens, huh?
Well, yeah, and I heard Marco basically said, what was it? He said he was for a conservative, but anybody who could stop Trump. So he didn't come right out to say he was for Cruz, but he, you know, I mean, as far as I can see, that's what he did.
Now, it just seems to me it's interesting who's backing who, Kurt. Again, Marco Rubio backing Ted Cruz starts to tell me who these people are associated with. When would the Bush brothers back Ted Cruz? When all these people back Cruz, they're all insiders, Kurt.
Well, I agree, and yet I think all they're really trying to do is first stop Trump, and then, in my opinion, they'll toss Cruz to the side as they try to get, you know, somebody they want in there, but I don't know for sure.
I just find it fascinating. Absolutely fascinating that that we just have this scenario going on where every single person except for Christie on the campaign stage, what do we start out with, 17, 18, I don't know, some crazy number. Virtually every one of them is backing Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz pitched himself as the outsider. In fact, every one of them said, man, we can't have Ted. Ted can't get along with anybody. But now they're all, not counting Christie, backing Ted Cruz. Now, when I say all, you could say, no, wait a minute, Sam. Ben Carson kind of is backing Trump. Well, kind of. Now, Ben Carson has been in the news dissing Trump as hard as he's backing Trump, Kurt. So
well,
it's a very interesting
point.
Battle.
You know, if I were to say out of the 17, yeah, I'd put those two pretty much solidly in Trump's camp and everybody else, you know.
But I wouldn't put Ben Carson solidly in Trump's camp.
Well, as solid as, you know, I mean, a lot more solid than any of the other guys.
Okay, sure, I'll go there. I'm just saying he's made several, I don't know what you say, missteps. On one hand, he supports Donald. On the other hand, he's dissed Donald and kind of created compromising positions for Donald several times.
Well, it just shows you how the insiders, the kingmen, the establishment basically control things. All the other guys know that it's a kiss of death to basically oppose them.
There you have it. Chris Vegas, you're on the radio, sir.
Good morning, Sam. I think all this entertainment is quite amusing. However, there are more important things going on in the continuing ongoing saga of the Bundy-Malheur Ranch and Bundy Ranch situation. It's reported this morning on the news as a news flash that they're going to be bringing Ammon and Ryan Bundy back from Reno. Why they're in Reno in abuse of this Eighth Amendment protections against cruel and unusual punishment, I can't tell you. But they're bringing him back for another hearing or some sort of legal maneuver, further abusing the malicious prosecution process here in Las Vegas courts for Friday sometime. I expect it'll be the 9:30 usual time, but I can't guarantee that yet. They haven't released the time, but they will be coming back supposedly for some legal maneuvers.
The bottom line with that is they're just trying to pile on charges. Let me give you an example to help make the case. So we're switching completely from the Trump discussion per Chris's phone call to Ammon Bundy. And Ammon Bundy and those guys are going to Nevada to answer more charges, if you will, to have a closed door hearing. It's going to be hard to get information out of that, really. However, let me tell you a little story, and it might put things in perspective for you. Pete Santilli, well-known talk show host, I consider him a friend, but he got beat up pretty hard by the mainstream press for his coverage of the Burns situation. And what happened was he got too close and he got caught in a snare, and they tried to basically claim that he was involved. In other words, they said, hey, he wasn't just a reporter. He was actually helping them with their cause. And, well, I was asked to be the inside reporter with Ammon Bundy and others. and I refused. I wouldn't go because I knew it was trouble and because I don't agree with what they did. Nevertheless, they asked Pete Santilli to do it after I refused, and Pete agreed. I called Pete personally and said, don't go. Don't do it. You're getting too close. It won't be objective journalism. You'll get caught in a snare. Don't do it. Pete didn't listen to me, and now Pete's in prison. Well, let me just make sure you understand. Pete was also back at the Bundy Ranch scenario, covering that quite well also. So what happened is Pete's lawyers went to the judge and said, we need Pete to be released on his own recognizance. Let him go. And the judge said, okay, I'll let him go. On one condition. He's going to go back and answer charges in Nevada. Well, then Pete Santilli's attorney said, oh, no, wait a minute. Hold on. We don't want him to be released to Nevada. Let's keep him here. So Pete, from what I understand, is still in jail in Oregon. Didn't want to go to Nevada to answer charges. Because what happens is they just create more and more and more charges, pile on more and more jurisdictional boundaries that really conflict, if you will, and then they create a no man's land where you'll never get released. Well, that's what I believe they're dragging Bundy into right now, sir. They're doing it on purpose to create multiple jurisdictions, to where he'll have layers and layers. Even if one thing gets dismissed, there's the next one and the next one and the next one. And, well, by golly, you get released there, but you got to go here to answer charges. And you got to, and they're just ratcheting this thing up intentionally. So I believe that's what it's about, Chris.
Well, tactically, Sam, the legal trade always does is called applying legal leverage. If they get enough charges on there and a fed of long enough jail sentence, then they can coerce the poor victims into copping a plea to something they didn't do so the government can claim a victory and the others can be colored with a brush of criminality. In this particular case, the defenders of the West and the lands of the West against the federal bureaucracy are being abused in the prison system and the judicial system by malicious prosecution. They frame the blame in the worst possible light, painting them with a broad brush of criminality, when they were actually involved in defensive maneuvers trying to protect lands from the onslaught of terrorism coming from the federal government by special devised personal interests that are vested in selling those lands to foreign enemies. And coloring victims as the criminals is a frequent tactic that's been used since the beginnings of time by some that used to be the terror of the sea, the Pharisees.
I know what you're saying, and I couldn't disagree.
Oh, absolutely. And the true terrorists in this event have really been the people acting as agents for the BLM, the Forest Service, the Harney County law enforcement officials up there, most of them at least. This situation where these people have been the physical abusers, we saw who leased the dogs and the tasers and threw people to the ground, including pregnant women at the Bundy Ranch, killed cattle, destroyed infrastructure, started fires up at the Malheur Range with fire pots for BLM officers, and we saw them carrying all sorts of heavy military armaments, MRAPs, all this militarization weapons, while the others, some may have assumed defensive positions providing cover for the women and children and others that were going up against much heavier armed forces.
Flat out of time. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The U.S. government is the biggest debtor in human history, but this isn't because of inadequate revenue collection. For the first half of fiscal year 2016, aggregate tax revenues hit an inflation-adjusted record of $1.48 trillion, yet the government ran a $461 billion deficit during the same period, reports the Treasury Department. That figure includes individual and corporate income taxes, in addition to estate, gift, and excise taxes, and customs duties. In an interview with the editorial board of the New York Daily News, Hillary Clinton promised a $1 trillion tax increase that would be phased in over a decade. In order to fund paid family leave, debt-free college tuition, and what she calls infrastructure investments, Mrs. Clinton estimates annual tax increases of $100 billion a year. Now I'm aware that this is a heavy lift, the Democratic presidential frontrunner told the Daily News. But I think connecting what I'm asking for to the programs, to the outcomes and results that I'm calling for, gives me a stronger hand, and that's how I'm going to go at it. The International Monetary Fund scaled back its global growth forecast for the third straight quarter on April 12th, warning that volatile financial markets and increasing protectionism are worsening the worldwide economic downturn. The IMF also criticized the UK's possible withdrawal from the EU, complaining that British reassertion of national independence would do severe damage to the long-term project of economic and political union. German counterintelligence analysts believe that dozens of soldiers from the Bundeswehr have defected to the Islamic State, and scores of active-duty soldiers are under investigation for suspected ISIS sympathies. A report produced by Germany's Military Counterintelligence Service, or MAD, concludes that at least 29 former German servicemen have traveled to the Middle East to join ISIS, and 65 others are being scrutinized as potential defectors. The MAD wants to investigate all potential military recruits for links to anti-constitutional movements, which would require a change in existing German laws. The $5 billion settlement between Goldman Sachs and the Justice Department means that the bank actually won't pay a fine at all for large-scale mortgage investment fraud, according to financial analyst David Dayen. The investment bank will merely send a cut of profits from long-ago fraudulent activity to a shakedown artist also known as U.S. law enforcement, Dayen writes in the New Republic magazine. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's kind of seemed like the program's a little confusing. One second we're talking about Donald Trump and Megyn Kelly. Next second, you know, we're talking about Pete Santilli and him and Bundy. That just kind of shows the complications of covering news in our society. It's so diverse, so complicated, so many stories. It's beyond imagination, Kurt. It's almost hard to cover. And I feel bad for Ammon Bundy and crew. I think they've been wronged. But I also think they did something wrong. And that's a dichotomy, too, because the second I say that, all the, you know, Finicum slash Bundy patriots are going to go after me and tell you that I'm a sellout, that I'm a shill, that I'm a this, that I'm a that, and they're going to go off all crazy-like. And I just disagree with what Ammon Bundy did, that's all. I don't think they should have killed Finicum. I think the government's out of control and wrong, and there needs to be accountability. But I think that there's a balance in terms of what you can do. You can't have patriots arming themselves to the teeth, running around demanding protection from sheriffs when the sheriffs don't feel like what was done is correct and when there's all kinds of laws on the books. And, you know, where do you go from there? It is correct, the caller that dialed in, Chris, when he says it's about land and they're trying to sell the land out from under us. Now you go back to the Agenda 21 battle and Tom DeWeese and others. We interview lots of people on this. We're very caught up on it. It is a critical issue. He's right. When it comes to Donald Trump, Megyn Kelly and Trump are getting along right now. Putting Trump's campaign manager, it may be off the hook for battery. But it may not be the end of the story for Michelle Fields and Corey Lewandowski. Marco Rubio, though, is teaming up with Ted Cruz to block even more Trump delegates in the Arkansas state primary. Now, what I find fascinating about this is all the different candidates told you how horrible Ted Cruz was. Nobody can get along with him. He's awful. He's an outsider. He just blows everything he touches up. Now they're all hanging out with him, with an exception of Chris Christie and Ben Carson. Now, listener Bob emails in and wisely says this. You can bet that Kenny Bunkport, how do you say this other word he uses, Kurt? Corleone. Whatever. Corleone. Bush family is at the center of this election fraud. In other words, basically he's saying, hey, the Bush crime family is at the head of this fraud, meaning election fraud. I think there's truth to that. And you don't believe me, both brothers joined Ted Cruz. They told you how horrible Ted was. But aren't they all from Texas, Kurt? It's very interesting indeed. So how these stories parallel is hard to tell, Kurt, except for it looks to me like the insiders all have control. And the more we see that Cruz does, the more he becomes one of them. Why would all these people surround Trump? Now, I'm told by a lot of people that, oh, don't worry, they're backing Cruz now just to stop Trump, but they'll turn on Cruz soon. That may be true, too. But I have a feeling they're not as afraid of and against Cruz as they want you to believe either. Now, speaking of the Bundy Ranch scenario and Ammon Bundy and crew, besides asking everybody to donate to their get-out-of-jail fund, which is sad because, you know what? I want them out of jail. They say our battle, our legal fight will be astronomical in cost. And we're grateful for all of your love, prayers, and support. They got a Freedom Isn't Free shirt. You can get your size. But I don't see a whole lot going on, Kurt. Not that we can really report on anyway. I mean, what is there here?
Well, I can tell you this. Ammon's getting a speedy trial. You know what I mean? As far as I can tell, according to the latest stuff, there's a trial set for the 7th of September. So, you know, that's
one of the old. Well, and the last time they wrote, Kurt, was March 22nd. Okay, so I'm just saying, how long has that been? 8 days, and then April is 12 days. You know, you got like 3 weeks. They haven't even written anything on their own blog spot, which is the Bundy Ranch blog spot. And we hear that they're doing this and we hear that they're doing that, but there's just nothing to cover there, Kurt. We covered it big time when there was something to cover. And we still will, but there's just nothing there that I see now. Are they getting the shaft? Absolutely. I mean, not a one of the candidates even tried to help there. We heard rumblings that a Trump campaign staffer was going to go there, but then we heard nothing. That's the closest we've got. Even Mike Lee, as far as I can tell, hasn't said a word about it, Kurt. But the next headline says support Mike Lee for Republican Policy Committee Chairman. So what? Mike Lee wants leadership now. You fine with that, Kurt?
Well, I'd sure like it if he acted like a leader.
Well, do you want him to be the Republican Policy Committee Chairman?
I'd want him to speak up on things that are, concerning to us, you know, like the Bundy situation, like so many others.
Well, he's not talking about it at all.
Well, I know, but it's politically incorrect to do it, and that's, I guess, the reason why.
And I don't think he's about to talk about it either, Kurt.
I didn't see it on the agenda as far as I could tell.
Now, I mentioned to you, Kurt, that I can't get a hold of Megyn Kelly and or Donald Trump, and I really can't get a hold of Mike Lee. I mean, I've had a little bit better access to Mike Lee than I have Donald Trump.
You've sat with him in his office in Washington, D.C. I was there, and Sheriff Mack, but I agree.
But there's not really a lot of... But Mike Lee runs for leadership. Support Mike Lee for Republican Policy Committee Chairman. Again, is Mike Lee interested in anything we're talking about out here in the great unwashed flyover country, Kurt? I mean, he's busy running for leadership while you and I are going, man, the IRS has got to stop. Healthcare is out of control. Ammon Bundy and crew are being completely ignored. The land issues are critical. What do we do? Donald Trump is the only one that even seems somewhat to listen. All right. Well, I'll tell you what you do when you're all discouraged. You just eat a bunch of sugar. Just mack down on sugar, people. No,
it's
don't do
it. It's the American way, Sam. It's the American way. And, another report is out saying that, guess what? Sugar is not your friend. And I'm like, well, duh. But, these guys have figured it out, saying that it works just like a drug. And you got to stay away from it. But as far as I can tell, that story's not going to really have legs.
Why not?
Well, the same media that is telling you in one little place that it's bad for you is going to sell it to you like crazy everywhere else.
Now, what do you think of the headline, Kurt, with this story? I'm rejecting this headline. Here's what it says. Sugar addiction, like drug abuse. Study reveals excess sugar consumption elevates dopamine levels in a way that is similar to many drugs, such as tobacco, cocaine, and morphine. You buying that, Kurt?
Well, let's see. All I can tell you is that it's not your friend, but it's the way that they do it to try to sell the article, Sam. I mean, you got to make it in the media. If it bleeds, it leads, and you've got to have something like this, or else, hey, it's not that exciting, you know?
Yeah, so I'm rejecting this whole story, not because there's not truth to it. I think that sugar is addictive. I do think it's very hard for people to quit eating sugar. I do believe it's bad for your body. I think they're right on all those points that they make, Kurt. But when you start to say sugar addiction like drug abuse, and then you compare it to morphine and cocaine, you've gone way off the charts. And when was the last time you heard somebody, you know, murder people and rape and steal and plunder for their Snickers, Kurt? So I get what they're saying.
I see it all the time.
I get that they're saying it has effects that are negative on your body, and it certainly, you know, changes who you are if you eat too much sugar, and it's responsible for weight gain. And okay, I agree with a lot of the article, but when you make such an incendiary headline like this, you're just not in the realm of reality. They further go on and say this. They compare the effects of sugar to cocaine, and they liken the symptoms of coming off of sugar to going cold turkey. What do you think of that, Kurt? I mean, have you seen people cold turkey on sugar?
I've seen them a few times, and they look pretty shaky. It's pretty rough on them.
Yeah, but are they like a morphine user or a cocaine user?
Pretty much the same, yeah. That's the way I'd see it.
Not even close. All right. I mean, people that are on morphine and stuff like that, if they go through withdrawals, oftentimes need to be straitjacketed and hospitalized and all kinds of stuff so they don't steal and plunder and pillage to get their drug. I've never seen a sugar person even
with sugar, you just give them a little hit.
Well,
they'll be fine.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
With autumn in the air,
It's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So, Kurt, you really believe that, hey, you know what, people coming off sugar is like coming off morphine, huh?
No, I don't, Sam. But I do think that many times when it comes to the sugar, that we give it such a pass in our world these days, and we act like, hey, it's just... you know, oh, it's the great thing in America, you know, in the world. And yet, in my opinion, it's one of our biggest problems. But it's not
the level. You think sugar is one of our biggest problems in the world?
Well, I'm talking about when we were talking about nutrition. But, I mean, if we're going to talk about things to fix, I'd put the Federal Reserve and the IRS and the, you know, unconstitutional government, you know, ahead of that.
See, now, if they wrote a headline that said, you know what, sugar is much more addicting than once thought, and then they were to document how bad it is for your body and for your brain and how it paralyzes your immune system and how it helps you or makes you gain weight and all that. You know what? I agree completely. What I find fascinating about this discussion, though, is to compare it to morphine is just crazy. Okay? And furthermore, to suggest it's worse for you. I mean, if you're going to eat something, would you rather have a lot of the artificial sweeteners or sugar? See, I'd rather have sugar compared to a lot of the artificial sweeteners out there, too.
Well, that's where the old choice A and choice B isn't adequate.
Well,
that's
you would say you pick choice C, choice have none C. of them.
No, you have, like, honey, you have stevia, you have so many good alternatives, and you just got to focus on the good.
Well, yeah, so there are better alternatives than sugar, for sure, and honey's a better one, no doubt about it. Of course, Kurt's a honey salesman, so it's a little bit hard for him to be objective in this, but nevertheless... I
was a honey salesman even before I sold honey. You know what I mean?
No. You mean you'd eat it and tell everybody else to eat it?
Well, that's kind of like selling it, isn't it?
Not really. You don't get money. But
like you, for example, you might be a seller of, you know, they would say you promote certain things, but
yeah,
you don't
like
really
when I talk about
it.
Radio, they would say that I'm a radio salesman, that I promote radio over other things, and they'd say I'm biased against TV or something like that, you know. Anyway, I don't mean to attack the story. I think there's a lot of validity to the story, and I think it's worth bringing up and discussing. I'm just telling the news writers about this. If they'd write it in a little more even-handed, a little more appropriate way, I think they'd get further. And I'm not defending sugar, by the way. I agree that it's bad for you. But I would say sugar addiction like drug abuse and comparing it to cocaine and morphine, let's be clear, it's not even close. And coming off of sugar is not like coming off of morphine. I'm just telling you that it's not even close to the same. All right, New Balance shoe company's in the news, Kurt. This is an interesting twist.
Well, yeah, the shoe's on the other foot here, Sam. And the headline reads basically that the Obama administration pressured them to stay quiet on what's called TPP. Now, what's TPP, Sam?
I don't know, something Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of these, like NAFTA and GATT and all these different deals. But it's one more of these trade deals, you know, that Donald Trump says, hey, we get all the raw end of it. And this is a U.S.-based shoe manufacturer called New Balance that, hey, they told the Boston Globe that they didn't really like the deal, but they were told to be quiet about it, you know, pressured by the Obama administration. Is that a surprise to you, Sam?
Say that again. Can I what?
Is that a surprise to you that the Obama administration might pressure a company into silence about a trade deal they were doing?
Well, Kurt, let me just ask you a different question in response to this. New Balance Shoe Company, well-known U.S.-made shoe company, they claim. Obama admin pressured us to stay quiet on TPP, but now the deal's off. According to the Boston Globe, they're speaking out. Now, what shocks me is not that this happened, but that the Boston Globe is reporting it, and the New Balance folks are telling the tale. Now, I don't think you could trust New Balance any more than you can trust the Obama administration. After all, they were in bed together just a short time ago. What I find surprising about this whole thing, Kurt, is that people run around and tell me there are no conspiracies, Sam. Why don't you get off those conspiracies, Sam? There's none of that. Well, if a shoe company, a well-known United States shoemaker, agrees to be quiet on a topic to pass political trade deals, globally speaking, for a piece of the pie, and now they blow the whistle, Kurt, is that a conspiracy?
Well, I think it is. It certainly follows the definition of it. In the story, it talks about how New Balance, the reason they agreed to kind of keep it quiet about the whole deal was that they were kind of promised they would get serious consideration for a big contract that's a big government contract from the Department of Defense to outfit the recruits with athletic shoes. But guess what? They didn't get an order, and the New Balance officials now say the Pentagon is intentionally delaying any purchase. Now they're reviving their fight against the trade deal, which I would probably say it's a little late now. It would gradually, this trade deal, by the way, would gradually phase out tariffs on shoes that are made in Vietnam. They say this loss of those tariffs, the company said, would make imports cheaper and jeopardize their factory jobs where? In New England. That's in America, by the way, Sam.
But they weren't worried about their jobs in New England when they thought they were going to get a big deal to sell them out, Kurt.
Well, that's how I usually see it. It's money buys your silence, etc. They say tariffs on shoes are steep. I didn't know that, by the way. New Balance company does make 75% of their shoes outside of the U.S. already.
So they're all too willing to go along as the cash is king. Kurt?
Yeah, they say their vice president of public affairs said this. He told the Globe, the Boston Globe, "We swallowed the poison pill that is TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, so we could have a chance to bid on these contracts. We were assured this would be a top-down approach at the Department of Defense if we agreed to either support or remain neutral on TPP. But the chances of the Department of Defense buying shoes that are made in the USA are slim to none while Obama is president."
What does that mean?
Well, they've maybe, the money has helped them see the light, the real money, and that is, they fell for the lie, the old free trade lie. And now they say the shoes on the other foot, and bottom line, the Pentagon, it's just back to the old thing. Imagine if we really had to fight a war and we didn't make anything in America.
There you go.
We might be in trouble.
All right. Anyway, I don't have a lot of respect for the New Balance Shoe Company, even though they are blowing the whistle and telling the truth, Kurt. If they would have got their piece of the pie, they would have merrily been quiet, sold their workers down the river, sold us down the river. Now they're trying to act like they're a whistleblower, truth teller? Come on. They just didn't get their piece of the pie. Now what'll probably happen is there'll be some backhanded way for them to shut up, get the deal, and still move along quietly and let it go. It'll be a flash in the pan news story or something. Watch. We'll keep an eye on that.
Well, how many places are you going to hear about this story, Sam? It's going to be very few people are going to hear. Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is you'd think a story like this, see if Rush Limbaugh talks about it. See if Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck does a lot of Made in America stuff. He really needs to talk about it.
Well, let's see. I'll be surprised, but you know, if he does.
Now, it's interesting to me, too. The mainstream press seems to be coordinated. Every one of them will break a story here and there. You hear about the Boston Globe this and the so-and-so that. When was the last time you heard about the Boston Globe? So you wonder how many times they just take turns breaking stories that they know we all want to hear about so they can get enough coverage and remain relevant. We talk about them all. I find that fascinating. Anyway, Grant County Sheriff Glenn Palmer says that the dispatchers in Oregon endangered his life by withholding information. Les Zaitz, the Oregonian, writes the piece. Kurt's got details.
Well, it goes with the Bundy thing. Remember, this is the place they were headed to. This is the county and the sheriff they were headed to see on the way.
Well, let me stop you for a minute. When you say they were headed to see, that's what Finicum said.
Oh,
that's not what Glenn Palmer says.
Okay.
Well, in other words, Glenn Palmer says, I didn't have any meeting set up with him. So I know what the story's saying, but I don't think it's accurate. Believe it or not, probably an hour before all this went down, Kurt, I was on the phone for an hour with Glenn Palmer. Did you know that?
No, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, he's a friend of ours, and, you know, right now I think he's taking some heat. Folks are trying to get rid of him, you know, the insider boys, because he's a good constitutional sheriff.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, that's why we bring it
up. Now, before the end of the hour, who wrote this article, Kurt, about Sheriff or Grand County Sheriff Glenn Palmer?
Yeah, the guy's name is Les Zaitz, Z-A-I-T-Z, the Oregonian, you know,
hey,
is
Kurt,
where it comes from.
I got news for you.
What?
Les called me.
Cool.
And I had a good chat with Les for about a half hour.
Uh-huh.
Did he put me in the story at all, Kurt?
Probably not.
Look down at it and see if you can find that out. We'll chat about it next hour. But I gave Les some of the most cogent information on the whole subject. But I don't think he gave me any credit whatsoever. Thanks, Les. Appreciate that, sir. Next time, I'll desire to have more time for you. Not. All right, thanks for being alongside with the ride details next hour. Thanks for listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station.